Good morning, 7:41 here on the Mighty 690. It is time for our chat with State Senator Virgil Peck. How you doing, sir?
Hey, great to be alive in Southeast Kansas, James. Appreciate the opportunity to be on this morning, and we're starting, I guess you'd say today sort of starts a long holiday weekend.
Yeah, and it's something that we definitely want to take a little step back and remember and realize that, well, Memorial Day is not just about having some sort of cookout or whatever. There's a way more to it than that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is a time for us to memorialize, remember our veterans, our military veterans who have passed on in defense of our country. And I sometimes can't help but think about these military veterans, some of the greatest Americans in our history, gave their life for our country. What would they say about the United States today? Well, it's kind of on us. The ball is in our court. It's time for us to take a stand for what is right and true and the morals that our country is founded on. So there will be several Memorial Day services around the area that area residents can attend. I won't mention all of them because I'll miss some, but I know that I'll be attending one. There are some here in Montgomery County and other counties, again, just memorializing the deceased veterans. And it gets a chance to also say, again, thank you to veterans. It's not Veterans Day. This is about our deceased veterans, but it's just real important. But have fun, too. Pardon me. Have a hot dog, some hamburger, and so forth.
Sure. It's definitely a time that we want to remember. But, you know, that's the thing. There's just so much that we take for granted. And it's just that's a really good time to take a few moments and reflect a little bit.
Well, absolutely. And that's what our holiday is for. By the way, something else special going on this weekend. You have mentioned Mr. Stapleton, Drake Stapleton, a graduate from Caney Valley High School. I actually graduated with my grandson. Mr. Stapleton and grandson Griffin Peck are in Wichita right now. The state high school track and field competition starts today. And Mr. Stapleton, he's a big kid. He's probably 6'4" and 275 pounds, a big football player, but he throws a shot put,
yeah,
throws a discus. Interesting, he's going to Pittsburgh State. The coach of the track and field team over at Pittsburgh State is a man named Brian Mantooth. Brian is also a graduate of Caney Valley High School. And so we've got a couple guys that we're proud of, but congratulations to Drake on that True Blue scholarship that he received. That's pretty special. I was a little surprised when I went to the baccalaureate and then graduation over at Caney Valley High School. James, not only is Drake a big kid, an athlete, he's also smart. He was valedictorian of his class, and that just doesn't happen a lot of times. We always think of our athletes as not the brightest because they've had their head beat around a little bit, but proud of Mr. Stapleton being a Caney Valley graduate. And if you've never been, I'll just say this to the listeners, if you've never been to the track and field competition in Wichita at Cessna Stadium, Wichita State, it is a great opportunity. James, some of the best athletes in the state and even around the world have participated there. We had Maurice Green, who was an Olympic runner, won some gold medals many times in the 100-meter dash. He ran at that meet. And Monty Beisel, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs and some other NFL teams, he was from Douglas, Kansas. That kid, I think he still holds some of the records in the shot put and discus. Great athlete. And then the interesting thing, because I was there, my boys were running in that meet. As a matter of fact, they still hold some records over at Caney. But it was interesting to me that Monty Beisel, through the shot put, through the discus, you think, oh, these are your big, strong kids. Well, he was a big, strong kid. Well, then he got on the track and outran everyone into 100 meters. So talk about an athlete. My point again is, you will see some real athletes if you get a chance to go to the state track and field competition.
Well, that is great. That is good. So we always like to recognize the students and student athletes who have worked really hard, because that is a lot. But, you know, also at the state level, I know we've been talking, we actually mentioned it a little bit last week with Ron Bryce, but the line item vetoes that the governor had put out, I guess those are going to be allowed to stand on the education bill, right?
Apparently so. Senate Bill 113, which was the education finance bill, the governor, and it also had several policy pieces in it. So there was discussion, is it a policy bill or is it an appropriations bill? Well, it was sort of both. So the governor took some liberty and lied on and vetoed a provision in the bill, and it would allow for, rather than, or I shouldn't say allow, it would disallow, rather than looking back 2 years on enrollment numbers, it would only go 1 year. And declining schools, that's a big deal. Declining enrollment schools is a big deal to them. The two-year average, or three-year average, rather, allows for not quite as much of a ebb and flow in funding. The other side of the coin, in fairness to that, is should schools receive funding for students that they're not educating? And this was based off of education. The education finance is based off of enrollment. So should they have a funding for enrollment of students they no longer have? I can argue both sides of that coin. But anyway, so the governor vetoed it. The leadership of the House and Senate asked the Attorney General to look at it and see, can she veto, line item veto, a non-appropriations bill?
Because this never happened before for education bill, right? These line item vetoes.
Right. It had never happened before. The legislature a few years ago decided to separate the education finance from the rest of the state budget and put some policy pieces in there. Several things that we're doing, we're working. James, we've got some issues with education. We need to certainly do all we can to improve the educational opportunities for students. Legislature came up with some ideas, some things they put into the bill. This particular thing wasn't necessarily anything that had to do with education performance. It strictly had to do with education funding on this line item veto. But it looks like it's probably going to stand. I don't know what the Attorney General is going to say. He hasn't ruled whether it was appropriations or policy piece. But so far, it seems like the interest in fighting this has waned some.
Sure. Well, a little bit on that note, you know, we have seen, you know, on the education front, graduation time is come and gone here. And some of these schools that are in, you know, these surrounding counties, it is a little bit surprising, you know, people coming like myself from a little bit bigger places to, you know, see some of these areas have not very many graduating seniors. And of course, that may be been the case for years and years, but we do have population decline issues in Southeast Kansas in general. And you said there have been some recently released reports, because obviously we only have the census every 10 years. So, but there's a little bit more granularity that we have in some other reports, right?
There is. And yes, I was a little bit surprised when I went, pardon me, to the Caney graduation. I think there were only 68 graduates, and historically it's been higher than that. But yes, we got some numbers. These are census numbers, so it's not something that we just sort of pick out of a hat. But from July of 21 to July of 22, and of course we don't have July of 23 yet, it's still month and a half away or so, there's been a population loss in Southeast Kansas, but specifically in Senate District 15, when you consider the entire counties, Labette, Montgomery, and Neosho counties. And of course, the district doesn't include all of Labette or all of Montgomery, but most of it. But in those three counties, there's been a population loss in 1 year of 437 residents. 437 people have left those three counties. And James, if it's over a 10-year period, because like you said, census has taken every 10 years officially, that's a 4,000 person loss. That's pretty significant. And then the new Senate district, which will take effect in January of 2025, following the next election cycle. So whoever fills this seat at that time will have also Elk and Chautauqua County. When you add those two counties in, the population decline is even higher at 480. So there are some things that have been done, being done to reverse this trend, but it sort of puts the monkey on the back of legislators and area leaders to try to do what we can to reverse this trend of population loss.
Well, and this population loss issue is nothing new, but, you know, just in talking with some different city administrators around Southeast Kansas, you know, they think that there is some opportunity, and COVID kind of showed us this a little bit, where, you know, people want to get out of the cities and they maybe can now work remotely, whereas they couldn't even a couple of years ago. So, you know, they could still maybe have a high-paying remote work job, or maybe have one, you know, remote job and one local job or something like that. And there seems to be some interest in people leaving the cities. And so, you know, different cities are looking, hey, how can we be attractive to those people who are looking for a change of pace?
Absolutely. And I'm partial to rural area. I've lived in rural Kansas my whole life. And so I like the rural areas. But more and more people are realizing that, yes, I can still have a good paying job and work remotely via internet. Provided the internet is always up and working.
Right. Well, today is a little bit of a...
Yeah, it's not a real good day to talk about it. But there's some work being done to improve the infrastructure as it relates to high-speed internet into the rural areas of Kansas. But you are right. We have opportunity. We got some great things for people that want to live in a not large populated area. Some people only live in a large populated area because of the job opportunities. Well, if you can work remotely, and more people are doing it, and that is, I guess you'd say, a benefit of COVID. We would still rather not have gone through that.
Sure.
But we learned some things from the COVID experience. And rural Kansas has got some opportunities here, provided we have the infrastructure in place. Of course, we've got things like the soybean crushing plant up north of Coffeyville, between Coffeyville and Cherryville. Going to bring in jobs.
I mean, I can tell you firsthand, there's a guy who just moved into our trailer park who's going to be here for 2 years.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just, that's bringing in people who are going to be, you know, semi-permanent residents, if you will. So it's great.
And hopefully he stays around.
Yeah.
Hopefully some who come in will stay around, and some will. We know that. Because when they realize the rural lifestyle in southeast Kansas, friendly people, we've got decent infrastructure. There are some improvements we need to make, and that's one thing we really got to work on, some infrastructure issues for the soybean crushing plant with the Kansas Department of Transportation. But we got some positives, but we need to work on those and understand that there have been some downturns, some negatives that we got to address as well. So it's a mixed bag. Prefer to focus on the positive, but sometimes you got to look at the negative as well.
Sure. Well, you mentioned COVID, and speaking of infectious diseases, NBAF is opening up in Manhattan.
quite a segue. That was great. But yes, last Wednesday, the MBAF, which is the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, opened in Manhattan. It's a $1.25 billion lab, and it is replacing the Plum Island Animal Disease Center in New York. And it's going to be the nation's lead facility for large animal research. Researchers will work with highly infectious diseases, foot and mouth disease, classical swine fever, African swine fever, Rift Valley fever. I could go on and
sure,
on.
Sure.
But, and there's not, this facility is not without controversy because these diseases can wipe out animals, a large number of animals, in a fairly short amount of time. So having this facility, there's discussion, should it be right in the middle of the United States? Well, I was in the legislature when it first started being talked about. The process started in 2006. The site was selected. I remember the site. The Kansas was in competition with other parts of the country. Should Kansas have this facility? It was selected in January of 2009. The state legislature passed some incentives and some funding. As a matter of fact, the state has put in $307 million of the $1.2 billion. And then the city of Manhattan, Riley County, has put in $5 million. The rest is federal money. So it's one of those things that we do have to make certain that we have a lab that is testing for these infectious diseases for our animals, and Kansas being a rural state. But should it be in the middle of the United States, or should it be someplace like Plum Island, which was
An island. Well, you know, I watched it being built, and of course, I was in Manhattan. You know, obviously, the decision had already been made. So, you know, there was not really the controversy, but you know, nothing could really be done about it. But you know, there is a positive there that, you know, hey, you got K-State, and you have, you know, the research being done there, and maybe some synergy that can happen, and opportunities for students to learn and everything, and of course, lots of research already happens. It is a research university, so. But yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Well, you're exactly right. There has been research going on at K-State for years. As a matter of fact, as a legislator, I had the opportunity to tour the facility, and it's a little unnerving. Of course, you have protective equipment on, and you get to see scientists that are working with lots of protective equipment on through a glass And so it, but the research has been going on there for a long time. This will bring in jobs. They expect 400 full-time employees to be coming to the area. These will be some high-paid scientists. Some of the best educated scientists in the world will be there. So I'm going to look at it right now as a positive, but man, James, I am part of that crowd that's a little bit concerned because Pat Roberts, who was United States Senator for the state of Kansas, retired now, finally, after being in the legislature for 500 years.
Yeah.
Not quite that long, but he was there a long time. But he said that he had an opportunity, or I don't know if opportunity is the right word, but he went to north of Moscow, about 60 miles. He was assigned on a secret site north of Moscow, and realized by being there some intelligence things, but it's long enough ago now that doesn't matter, but that there are Russian scientists who had developed some pathogens designed to attack a country's food supply. Well, we all know that the Russians are not friends of the United States. The Chinese are not necessarily, and some people say, well, don't say that out loud. Hey, we can't just keep everything under the blanket all the time, swept under the rug. But so my point is, we've got some countries that would like to destroy us. How do you destroy a country? Well, the United States has been militarily strong. You got to destroy it through food, lack of food or lack of electricity, something like that to control a country. So, again, we're hoping this facility will be able to find ways to stop any infectious diseases, find out what they are and how can we control them. So it was a big deal for the state of Kansas, is a big deal. We'll continue. It's not going to be fully operational yet, but it's open. It's starting. And over the next year and a half, 2 years, it will get fully functional and fully operational. So something beneficial to our state, but still there is that little caveat of a little bit of a concern.
Sure, of course. All right. Well, last couple seconds here. Anything else you'd like to share, Virgil Peck, as we head into Memorial Day?
Well, absolutely. Just briefly, the federal debt limit talks, they do affect the state and the state budget. And so we'll see how that plays out because we hope they come to an agreement, expect they will. But make certain, again, that you remember some of our deceased veterans and thank the veterans who are still alive on this Memorial Day.
All right. State Senator Virgil Peck, we do appreciate you coming by here and look forward to chatting again here real soon. And coming up, we do have our talk with folks from Skank Insurance. That's on the way.